Welcome to the Soma Heart Podcast. This is your host, Jenny Ann, and your guide and your friend on this path of personal and spiritual expansion. This is a sacred container where we do the work to connect with our bodies, reweave our nervous systems, and step into our next level of leadership. It's a space where slow, steady, and sustainable growth is the new barometer of success, where we prioritize how deeply we are being within ourselves and expand our capacity to receive more of life through the power of the unconscious realms. We dive into how to embody presence, lead from our hearts, cultivate abundance, open to pleasure and play as a pathway to healing so we can be expressed in the fullness of our complexities, and take action from our soul's guidance as we honor our unique human experience. So go ahead and make yourself a cup of tea, settle in, and step into this portal. Hello, beautiful souls. How are you all doing? I think this is becoming one of my favorite times in the week where I get to come and sit behind my laptop and to share with you, to speak some wisdom into the space, to share a little bit about what's been going on in my field, what are the themes that are coming through. And today, of course, is no different. And we're going to be talking to unconditional love and really just unpacking what is unconditional love. How can I learn to love more unconditionally? And what other love is there out there that actually isn't unconditional love? And learning here as well to be okay with that, right? We tend to feel that, you know, maybe unconditional love is the end goal because it sounds more beautiful and it sounds more spiritual, right? That spiritual righteousness kind of like ignites within us. And we think, well, you know, if I'm going to be the most spiritual being in the room, then of course I'm going to love unconditionally. But when it comes down to our human selves and our ego selves, unconditional love, while that may be our true nature and while that may be what is at the core of everything, right? It may not be appropriate in all situations. And I think there's a lot of acceptance that we need to do around that. Nevertheless, I'm going a little bit too deep, too far. So let's just reel it back a little bit. This conversation, I was in Amsterdam a couple of weeks ago, and I was hanging out with friends, and I was speaking with one friend in particular on this topic of unconditional love. We were speaking about relationships and kind of agreements and things that are non-negotiables and, you know, all the things that you kind of talk to about coming into partnership with somebody and coming into an intimate relationship with somebody. And as you may know, if you've been following me for a little while, you know, my husband and I, last year we had a separation. We came back together officially at the end of April. And we have been navigating the new ways of our relationship over the last couple of months. And, you know, we've done a lot of growing within our relationship, which has also supported us growing personally as well. And I can see how it's the acceptance and the willingness that comes with this desire to grow, right? So accepting ourselves as we are, accepting situations as they happen, having a willingness to learn and grow, and having a desire to learn and grow together, which has really been something that has kept us moving forward. So this is kind of like why this topic came up with this friend. And then we moved on to talking about unconditional love. And of course, because of the work that I do and the teachings that I share, there's a huge spiritual lens that we look at this through, right? And there's always this question of, can we really love unconditionally? And a couple of weeks ago, I actually answered the question very differently to how I'm going to share it with you today. I took a lot of time to think about this, to let it sit, to ponder it, and really feel into what it means to love unconditionally. And so that's what's really brought us here today. I want to begin with saying that we are all each a unique expression of the divine, right? Of greater love intelligence. And it's through our unique perception of the world that the divine is trying to have an experience, right? So we are all the divine. We are little branches of the divine that have come down to the planet to have these experiences. And that includes every emotion, every feeling, every sensation, every experience, right? There is a divine orchestration of everything that's ever happened and everything that is yet to happen, you know? And I can already hear the naysayers say, well, what about all the terrible things that happen on the planet? You know, and with love, like that's part of our divine orchestration, right? And it's our willingness to learn and see through things that is what is going to support the planet and support our souls and in our evolutions, right? But, you know, that's a very deep topic. So for now, let's just keep it a bit lighter. We are supposed to feel every emotion, because every emotion that we don't feel brings us sickness, right? It brings us dis-ease in our lives, in our bodies, in our fields, in our mental states, our emotional states, physical states, spiritual states. When we choose not to feel an emotion, which the divine has divinely orchestrated for us to feel, because that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to have this experience through our eyes so that it can grow and evolve and become wiser, right? This greater love intelligence. When we allow our ego parts, which we love over here on this Omar Heart podcast, we love our ego parts, right? We just try not to let it run the show. But it's here to feel every emotion. And so I wanted to kind of start with that because it brings us back to the one truth, which is the truth of oneness, the truth that we are all the same. We are all nature. We are all expressions of the divine, right? That is the one thing that truly links every single being on the planet together. So just let that sink in, let that land. And then talking about different types of love. If we go back to ancient Greek times, they say that there are 8 different kinds of love, right? This includes eros, which is, you know, your romantic love. This is the love that can break your heart. This is where, you know, we go and eat the tub of ice cream and watch the romantic movie and cry for days and days, or sometimes weeks and weeks, and we think, oh my gosh, like I will never be loved again, or I will never love again, or I'm going to be alone forever, right? This kind of, this love which can be so fiery and so powerful and so much happening. And when that breaks, it's like we break, right? So that's one kind of love. And another kind of love is agape, right? Love for the universe, something that is bigger than ourselves. And this, you know, agape, a lot of churches, spiritual churches, use agape in their name. So you might know Michael Beckwith. He has agape. So this is a love for something that's bigger than us. And you may have felt that sometimes if you are, you know, walking outside, if you're someone who connects a lot with nature and you're feeling like, wow, I just feel so much connection, like a deep love. Very stable, very grounding for the world, for the life force energy, right? Another love, I'm not going to go through all 8, don't worry, you can Google these, but just to kind of like give you some of the flavors of love, right? Another love is called mania, right? And this is the love that drives you towards obsession. And this doesn't necessarily need to be around about people, right? Like we can become obsessed with so many things, right? This manic love, mania love. And again, if we look at, you know, how important love is in our human lives, in Sanskrit has 96 words for love. And Arabic, I've heard, has something like 84 different words for love, right? Different ways to express love, different ways to talk about love. We love love here on planet Earth, right? Self-love, love for your family, love for your pets, love for your country, right? So many different loves. But unconditional love, now that, my loves, that is something different. to love someone or to love something without condition, that requires, the word expansion is what comes to mind, but that requires a different kind of expansion. It requires us to really become so aware of our ego and of our higher self, right? Unconditional love, to love without condition, you know? And maybe, you know, a lot of the questions that come up here is, well, if I was to love without condition and someone was to hurt me, would I still love them? Right? And we're going to go into that. I'm going to answer that question a little bit later on because it's a really important question, right? And this is the ego that is coming up to say, well, hey, you hurt me, so you're not going to get any of this from me anymore, right? It's a response to the hurt. It's acting from the pattern and the pain rather than acting from the love, right? And let's talk about romantic relationships here, like romantic partnerships. Because romantic partnerships are and always will be our greatest teachers. You know, any relationship that we have with people is an opportunity for growth and for teaching and for wisdom. But especially our romantic partnerships, the people who we choose to do life with, the people who we choose to share a bed with, the people who we choose to wake up in the morning to, right? Who know the depths of our soul if we allow them to. That these are beautiful containers for growth, right? As I was saying at the beginning with my husband and I, we are using our relationship. A lot has shifted in our dynamics, and it really is this beautiful opportunity for growth, right? But I want to start with this one about talking about love and how do we know we're in love, right? Because quite often we don't choose whom we love. It's a feeling and a sensation and a knowing, and describing love and that kind of Eros love can be very difficult. So we don't always choose who we love. But we do get to decide within the container of a relationship what boundaries we are deciding to show up with, right? These are my boundaries in partnership. These are my conditions in partnership. These are my agreements in partnership, right? And these can be things from, you know, if you don't live together, for example, like, you know, it's important to me that you message me in the morning to say good morning, or you message me in the evening to say good night. Or it's important to me that we spend quality time together. And quality time for me looks like XYZ, right? We start to create agreements with a person that we come into a romantic partnership with. Well, I say that, but I know that not everybody is maybe in a place where they're able to really express their own needs, or maybe they don't even know what their needs are. And so it's very difficult to come into agreement, right? And so this is usually where the partnership can get a little bit rocky because the communication is not as strong as it needs to be for everybody's needs to be met, for everybody's heart to feel happy, for everybody to feel safe and secure, and for the play, pleasure, and purpose to also weave its way into the relationship, right? And so romantic partnerships, we have agreements. And that's not to say that unconditional love is not a part of our relationships. Unconditional love, I really connect with the depths of our soul, right? It's on a very different level. This Eros love is us here having this human experience, right? Which is what the divine has orchestrated for us. To be here, to feel it all, and to understand and grow wiser from the ways that the ego is interacting in our lived experience. And to do that without judgment, right? Right, we're here always not to judge. But when we're in romantic partnerships, there's the question when we talk about unconditional love is what happens when I get hurt? What happens when those agreements, whether they were spoken or unspoken, get broken? And my heart feels pain, and I feel sad, and maybe my inner child is having a tantrum about something, right? What happens when I get hurt? Well, you know, maybe just reflecting for yourself for a moment back to a situation where you were in partnership and you were hurt. You know, blame, shame, guilt, defensiveness. We can take in a victim role, right? And that can stay with us for years and years and years. I'm thinking, you know, and this was my experience, right? I had a partner, a fiance actually, when I was a teenager, my late teens, who was unfaithful, like chronically unfaithful. And that broke me a lot. I had a lot of healing in my heart to do, but I didn't know how to do that. So I played the victim for a very long time, right? And so what do we do when we get hurt? We also, in these situations, tend to give our power away, which makes sense, right? Because we are giving our power away. We are projecting our pain. We are yelling. We are saying, you did this, and you did this to me, and you did this to me, right? There's a lot of energy that is moving out of us in a very unhealthy manner. And that's not to say that your anger and your pain and your frustration and all of the things are not healthy, because of course all of our emotions are here to be felt and here to be expressed. But when we start to express only from the fear and we don't come back into regulation afterwards, that's where we can have a little bit of a danger zone. But we are giving our power away, right? We are saying essentially, this person hurt me and I'm going to give them my power unintentionally. So it's almost like you're being held hostage, right? And all of this makes sense. It makes sense that we would get angry, that we would blame, that we would feel guilty, right? It makes sense that we get defensive, because our ego, which, as I said, we love our ego. Our ego is our personality. It's how we navigate life, right? And our ego is the one that is holding all of our protections, all of our attachments to outcomes, right? Attachments to people, places, and things. That sits with the ego. And so when we start to feel hurt by somebody, or we feel like an agreement was broken, we're actually turning a lot of that pain, all of that pain, all of that frustration, all of that blame, it gets turned inwards. We may be projecting it outwards, but we are really projecting a reflection of how we are thinking and feeling about ourselves in that moment, right? And this kind of reflects back on us, because if we look in our inner child and we look at our core wounding, our core patterning, right? Our parts of us that are within us that are yet to be healed, right? We start to project those, the projection of what's happening, the experience of what's happening in our current lived experience invites us, pressures us to reflect on ourselves in a sense that we are bad, or we did something wrong, or we are not worthy, we are not enough, right? Have you ever had that situation before where somebody hurt you, right? Their actions hurt you, and you're underneath all of the heightened emotion, like the anger and the frustration, was actually just like your deep sadness that you don't feel enough, right? It makes sense. And so as this is happening, we start to judge, and we make a judgment about what that person did to us. And then we make a judgment about ourselves, right? We make a judgment about ourselves, about why this happened to us. We start to put a meaning to the external circumstance, about why they acted a certain way. And here's the thing. When we judge, we are simply withholding love from ourselves. Because you cannot love yourself and judge at the same time. They cannot coexist. And so when we shift into judgment about a situation, about an action from somebody towards us, and that is actually just a reflection, an inner reflection on how we project things out, right? Like, we don't see this as opportunity for growth. And we start to take the road of judgment. and love and judgment cannot live together. Right? And so our romantic partnerships, while unconditional love can exist there, absolutely, it is usually a relationship that is built on agreements and mutual trust. And we have to learn first and foremost to communicate those agreements, right, when it comes into the container of the relationship. And second of all, we need to take responsibility for our own healing work, our own growth work, to notice the patterns that are arising up, and instead of reacting from them, we get really curious about them. Oh my gosh, like that is happening again. I can see how I'm doing X, Y, Z when this happens. I'm noticing how this makes me feel. I'm noticing what is happening in my body and how my body is responding. Okay, I can feel the tightness. This does not feel good. I'm noticing that and getting curious about it instead of responding from it or reacting from it, right? And we can almost apply this kind of analogy to any relationship, right? To family, to friends. You could even kind of lump it into, you know, strangers on the planet, right? Like these containers of when we are judging things that are happening outside of us. And oftentimes we can find that we are judging situations that don't even directly involve us, right? We start to judge what we're seeing on TV or in the news, or, you know, we see somebody doing something at a cafe and you're like, that's really weird. I wouldn't do that, right? So we have this judgment, and we judge because we think it makes us feel better, right? It's the ego's way of like lifting us up so that we don't see our own bullshit, right? Because when what we are judging in others is really just something that we are too afraid to see within ourselves, or it's something that we're judging in ourselves, right? And so the ego is covering that up with a judgment. But when we can instead choose to be curious, we can start healing. We can start noticing. We can start digging and loving ourselves through the process of uncovering our deepest wounds. Love ourselves through the process of the mess that we've created, self-created in our lives when we didn't take responsibility, right? This is a little bit about last week's podcast episode as well. So there's more on that in last week's episode, but it still is very, you know, tightly linked to unconditional love, right? And I want to kind of close this little chapter talking about, you know, actual relationships before we go a little bit more into unconditional love. Just with saying that, you know, I mentioned at the beginning, often at times we think that, you know, if somebody hurts us and then we love them unconditionally, then that means that we are giving up, or we have to stay in a situation, or, you know, we don't really know how to navigate that. You know, I'm supposed to love you unconditionally, but what you did really hurt, and you're making it very difficult for me to love you right now. You know, there's this kind of feeling, or in situations where, you know, there has been abuse of any kind, or anything that is really a non-negotiable in terms of like how we should treat people on the planet. It doesn't mean to say that you have to stay in a hurtful situation. In fact, I would encourage anybody who is in a situation that is not loving from a sense of emotional, physical abuse, from a sense that somebody is continuing to act in a certain way when you have invited them not to, and you have expressed your needs and expressed why it's important to you, and your boundaries are being continually crossed and you are not being respected. Unconditional love doesn't mean that you stay in those situations, right? Those are two very, very different things. Unconditional love is actually having unconditional love for yourself to say, I will no longer tolerate this situation, right? You can start with learning how to love yourself unconditionally, and start with learning that you don't deserve any of the things that are happening if this is you, right? Unconditional love is our true nature. It's this oneness. It's this deep understanding that everything is here to help you. And I would love to talk to this for a moment, because I can hear as I'm saying it, right? I'm hearing from my guides, from my team. There's like a lot of noise around this. Everything is here to help me. Like, what are you talking about? Or unconditional love? Like, what do you mean? It's the oneness and the deep, like it can feel a lot. And what I understand to be true is that we are all created from unconditional love. We are all, like we said, expressions of the divine. And choosing a spiritual path, there are so many different colors that you can choose, right? And each one of us is here on the planet to learn something. And maybe this isn't the lifetime for you to learn unconditional love, right? Maybe this isn't the lifetime for you. Maybe this is the lifetime for you to explore it in certain areas of your life. Maybe this is the lifetime for you to just like know what it is, and you're going to actually be learning some other stuff first, right? And I think that's really important to note, because we tend to, you know, when we come on this journey and we awaken into truth, and we realize that, you know, we have this ego, we are here on the planet, we have this soul, we have our guides, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We tend to get on our spiritual high horses, and we love to be the most spiritual of them all, right? Like, oh yes, I am seeking enlightenment, and oh yes, I am also seeking enlightenment, and yes, unconditional love, but secretly behind doors, we are eating junk food, swearing, like not practicing our disciplines, like behind closed doors, we're doing whatever with love the fuck we want, right? But we like to get on our spiritual high horses, which also can be known as our spiritual egos, right? We get into this vibration of like, I'm more spiritual than you. And yes, I love unconditionally, even though in like the depths of your heart and your body, you are feeling something totally different. The words that are coming out of your mouth are saying, no, 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 absolutely. I am all about unconditional love. So I wanted to say that because give yourself permission to not be on the path of reaching enlightenment, of reaching, you know, to lead your life through unconditional love. I really believe that, you know, when we look at the way that our world is orchestrated, the way that the world is set up right now, unconditional love is needed everywhere, 1,000%. And we each get to do our parts in bringing that. It's not even bringing that to the planet, it's bringing that into the lived experience. It's already here, we just need to see it, right? So we're all doing our parts, but it's not everybody's job in this lifetime to become an enlightened spiritual master, right? So as I'm speaking and as I'm sharing, like let it land and let it sink in and make a choice for yourself on what you're choosing right now. And maybe there's some more learning, right? Maybe there's some more lessons in your divinely orchestrated plan that need to be learned, that you need to experience before you choose this path, right? Because with love, unconditional love is not welcome in some spaces. It might not be welcome in big corporations who are trying to make money, and maybe this is the kind of job that you're working right now because you have bills to pay and family and, you know, things that you want to do. And this is what you studied at university. And this is what you feel called to do, right? And so you can figure out ways for yourself. And how could I bring like just a little bit more unconditional love into the workplace? And maybe it just starts with you, right? Maybe this life is just about loving yourself unconditionally. So I feel like I went on a little tangent, but maybe not. I'm looking at my notes and I'm like, oh, I'm way, way over here. One of the questions that came through to me was, You know, can unconditional love be learned? Can it be developed? Or is it something that we all have innately within us? And as I said, I believe it is our true nature. So which means that it's innate within us. It is, you know, you look at a baby understands, or like naturally, let's say, has his needs or her needs. The need is met or it's not met. Like tired, like very basic. I'm hungry. I need the bathroom. The baby will express an emotion if those needs aren't met. It will cry, right? As soon as the needs are met, it's good. It never stopped loving its mom, its caretaker, its father. It never stopped loving in the process, right? So it is innate within us. It's as we grow older and develop these ego parts, these lenses through which we see the world, that we start to say, well, you made me sad, therefore I don't love you anymore because you hurt me, right? But with saying that, as we have learned or developed these lenses through which we see the world as we grow, we can also unlearn, right? We can unlearn what these lenses are. And the more we unlearn them and take them off, the more connected to unconditional love that we become, right? And unconditional love, I truly believe, is a medicine. It's a medicine for all human hurt and suffering on the planet, right? It's a medicine. We have soul contracts. We have, you know, soulmates, we have twin flames, and all of these are here to help us to grow. And unconditional love is the medicine for that. I'm going to speak to that in a quick moment. Our soul contracts, we exchange with somebody, right? We have a contract with somebody and we exchange it until that contract is fulfilled. If that contract isn't fulfilled, those lessons keep on coming around, right? And so that's why things repeat in our lives, right? And unconditional love, I believe, as I said, is really the medicine for all of this human hurt and suffering on the planet. It's really a deep wisdom. It's our true nature. I keep saying that, but that's the words that I'm being given in this podcast episode, so that's what I'm going with. It's knowing that everything is a divine orchestration in our life because the divine is choosing to experience life through the uniqueness of every single one of us so that it can become wiser and more evolved, right? And looking at soul contracts, looking at these experiences that we have in the world and the planet, it is the exchange, right? That when we give true unconditional love in an uncomfortable situation, in a situation that hurt us, where maybe we're triggered, unconditional love is, instead of choosing ego and choosing the protection and the defense, right? Instead of letting that rise up and, you know, be the tiger that comes out, we choose unconditional love in that exchange. And that starts with us. I'm not talking about the other person involved in the experience, right? That starts with us. In this moment where I feel hurt, where I feel defensive, where I feel that those ego parts rising up, I'm curious, I'm noticing them. I'm choosing compassion and I'm choosing unconditional love in this exchange. And by doing so, we are saying thank you to that person who gave us the opportunity to give love, right? To give the love of all of our true nature. To give the love that fulfills us, right? And then it's seeing that person and holding that person in the experience with you. You offering your unconditional love without any attachment to what they are going to do with it. Because that's, again, where the ego comes in, right? We detach from the outcome of what this person is going to do with your unconditional love, because you are giving the love without conditions. And so they get to choose. Are they going to reject it, deny it, ignore it, or accept it? Right? it's not about, well, if you do this, or if I do this, then you'll do that. So if I give you this unconditional love, then I expect you to love me more. Like, we are detaching from the outcome. So that we accept and embrace, right, that they can do with our love as they please. Because this unconditional love is our love, but it's the love of all, right? And then we look for gratitude within ourselves. We search for the gratitude for the opportunity in this exchange, in this soul contract, in this experience, because this gave us the opportunity to open our hearts even more, even in moments of struggle, even in moments where there was maybe pain, right? And in doing so, in finding the gratitude in those moments and opening our hearts, right, we make our love even more unconditional. And so every interaction, if you're choosing this path, every interaction from here on out, search for the unconditional love in the moment. It might not be right in the moment because we're human and we're learning and we have to love ourselves through the learning process. But reflect and find the unconditional love. And you can sit with yourself and offer unconditional love. Right? That just takes you. That doesn't need the other person. Right? To reflect and go back into your own heart and feel that open just a little bit more as you offer love instead. And that is truly loving without condition. Right? Regardless of the conditions of your environment, of your experience, of what you expect to be in return. Regardless of all of it, you choose love anyway. And why is that important, right? And this is where we have that choice of this lifetime. Am I choosing a life in devotion to greater love intelligence, in devotion to raising the vibration of the planet, in service? Am I choosing that? And by choosing that, am I willing and ready and able to do my own inner work, to look at my own mess and my own stuff so I can create space within myself for more love to be, right? Or am I choosing with love the path that's more, let's say, leaning towards the ego? It doesn't have to be full ego here because we can still be on a spiritual path and learn to live with our egos, and it's not necessarily about, you know, gliding through the day as a saint, just offering unconditional love to everybody, right? Like, that might not be your path, and can you be okay with that not being your path too, right? But why is this important in where the planet is today with so many people awakening is that, you know, and just play with this idea, right? Play with the idea that as the planet is right now, could you imagine if more of us learned to open and soften our hearts without condition? There's a lot of trust. And you know, trust is scarce on the planet, right? But imagine if more of us opened our hearts. Because that, my loves, that and that alone is how we transform the frequency of the planet. By practicing to love unconditionally every single day in as many interactions with people as we can, right? That is how we transform the frequency of the planet. And it's almost the way that I interpret it and feel about it is it's returning the planet to its natural state. Because we are all love. We are nature. That is our core frequency. And it's just all the other stuff that's getting in the way, that's getting on top. And I say stuff again with so much love because those are the lessons that our soul is here to learn. The things that feel messy and heavy and ugly are part of the experience that the divine has come here to experience through your eyes. And so if we can invite in some unconditional love and some compassion for those as well, that will definitely support us on our journey. It gives us a little bit more wisdom behind what is happening as our human selves versus our higher selves, right? And just to kind of close here, I say this to my friends all the time, you know, like human me is feeling X, Y, Z, but spiritual me, she is good. Like she fully gets it. I can see how everything is linking together. Human me right now is experiencing the anger and the sadness and the frustration, and I need to let her and hold the space for her to experience that. But spiritual me gets it. And that's what allows me personally to keep moving forward and continue to grow and continue to open my heart, even in places where it feels like there's not a lot of light and it feels very unsafe to do so. But that's my personal journey and that's my personal challenge, right? And we each have our own struggles, our own journey, our own challenges. No two people have walked a path the same on this planet. And each of us have something so unique and beautiful to bring. And so many offerings to give others and so much to receive back. And that's the beauty of living, right? What an episode. I had a lot of fun recording this. Maybe fun is not quite the right word. And you know, I'm really excited to continue to grow and develop this topic within myself and within my own personal practice. And let's see in a couple of months, you know, what the next evolution of this is going to be. But until then, and until next week, when you're going to hear from me again next week, I'm feeling already that we're going to be talking about breath work. You may know I have just launched my own breath work school. We are going to be having a training next year in March and April. This is going to be an online training for a couple of weekends. And then we have an in-person training on a weekend somewhere in Germany, most likely. It's going to be powerful. I'm so excited. I'm going to share more about that next week and really just share with you about the wisdom of the breath and the power of the breath when we learn to really connect with it on a deep level. And to also share here on the 7th of December, I have the first ever Sacred Heart Breathwork online ceremony. So that is going to be at 7:30 p.m. Central European time. There will be a recording if you cannot make it. The links are going to be below in the show notes. And I would love, love, love to see you there. I'm so, so, so excited to share this practice with you. It is so much deeper than any of the other breathworks that I have shared in the past. I can't wait to get this out to the world. So I'm going to leave it at that. I am sending you so much love. I invite you to subscribe if you haven't subscribed already. Leave a 5-star review if you love this podcast and share this with a friend. It really supports me in getting this out to other people on the planet so that together we can raise the vibration together. See you next time.